2 Timothy 3, until the last week or two, I really did not know as clearly the battle for the Bible that was going on. And though I knew this was a very serious problem, I didn't know how many were involved until I talked to Dr. James Seitler for a good length of time on the phone today. He's a medical doctor, and I didn't think I could even get him at all, but the nurse there, I said, just give me his home phone. And she said, no, I'll put you through to him. She wanted to know who I was and what I wanted to talk about. And so she knew he was interested in that area, about the King James Version of the Bible. And so I read to him what we had, and I said, Dr. Seitler, I said, as I was in his church back in the 60s, his father's church, he's dead now up in heaven, but Dr. Seitler, I read to him that we believe in the inspiration of the King James Version of the Bible in English. And he said, I don't have any problem with that at all. And I said, well, another fella that you maybe know who was at the Dean Bergen Society and spoke there, Dean Bergen, Society and spoke, I said, he didn't have the same idea about that. One minute he was our representative down there in Greenville, South Carolina area, and all of a sudden we lost him. And he liked some of the other standards too. And see, he doesn't believe that this is inspired. But it is. God's word says so. All scripture. This is scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I read all five of my commentaries on that verse today, and it was just glorious. John Calvin waxed eloquent. And some of the other commentaries that I had, the Matthew Henry, and they just said that this word is like no other word. There's nothing like this word. We can differ on some other things and some minor doctrines, but we cannot differ on the book. I was thinking on my way to church that this is the miracle book. The Bible is the miracle book. And this is the book which is the written word that brings on the miracle in every one of our lives, the miracle of salvation, the new birth. It cannot happen without the miracle book. And he has magnified his word above all his name. And so I'm going to just spend the rest of my life magnifying the word. Lifting up the word. And in the reading, as I read from the different commentators and the Biblical Illustrator and a few others, I just was just so thrilled as they said that in reality this is, that you cannot find out about its translation, its transmission, its original giving through the natural ways of our thinking. For you're dealing with a miracle working God. And one of them said that this word is so completely and interrelated with the person of God himself that they cannot be parted from each other. So that as if we were to not exalt the word of God, we would be not exalting the God of the word. For they are so interrelated with each other. Oh, do you love your Bible? It shows you that you love God, the one who gave it. Do you love the Bible? Well, then you love Christ. Amen? Oh, the word is so precious. And then it even speaks before that, the verses before that, about it'll make you wise unto salvation. talking to Timothy through his mother and grandmother, the things that he'd been taught. And it speaks there about, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And you know, right there in the translation of Calvin's work, it says there, the babies. But then over in Matthew Henry, it speaks and it says, this is talking about from a baby, from an infant, you've been brought up. And then as I read, Albert Barnes' notes, and he said, this is a good reason why we need Sunday school. We need to train our children from infancy up in the Word of God as Timothy was. For it will make us wise unto salvation. Oh, I'll tell you, that's what this book's all about, is how to get saved. How to get rid of your sins. Sad to say, I called Brother McVaney tonight. And I said the other Friday night over there when the chaplain gave the word, I said, did he talk anything about sin? No. Did he talk anything about judgment? No. Did he say anything about hell? No. He did say something about Christ. He said the only scripture verse he used is, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I believe that was the verse he gave. That was the only verse he gave. But listen, a sinner's got to know he's a sinner. He needs to know he's lost. He needs to know that he's coming to judgment one day. The great John Bunyan. The reason he listened to evangelists, he says, I know I become to judgment one day. And I'm not in good shape to come to judgment. And that's what these fellows over at the fort need to hear. That judgment day may come in Iraq, but they're going to come to judgment one day anyhow. And it's our time, by the way. That was a good prayer, Brother Hallman. For I was over at the mall last night, and one teenage boy, I was talking to the three in the car, and the two other fellas, they said they were saved. I asked him, when did you get saved, bud? And he said, 4 months ago. The other guy said, when did you get saved? The guy driving, sticking my head in the window. And I'm just giving him literature. And he said he got saved about a year ago and told me where he got saved. And then I said, what about you? He said, no, I'm not saved. I said, well, have you guys told him how to be saved? Oh, and the guy back in the back said, well, he can go to church if he wants to. Well, that is true, but I've kind of put it on those two fellas. And then I showed him how to be saved, and I said, would you like to be saved? And after a few moments, and he said, yes. And I said, well, bow your head and pray and ask the Lord to save you and come into your life and change you like your two buddies here. Because I said, you guys, you can let him die and go to hell, are you? And you're in the same car with him? And so he prayed. Then a little later, there were two soldiers coming out in uniform. Were they in uniform? I'm trying to think. I think they were in uniform. Can't recall. Two real nice-looking Anglo fellas coming out of there needing the gospel. One was a Catholic. The other one was a Methodist. I said, well, don't you fellas need to get saved? Here we're right in the middle of the thing. Cars are getting ready to come. I said, come on over here, fellas. Get over here. Get out of the way. We don't get run over. They're both going to Iraq. Both in 4th ID. And the Methodist boy, he said, I was just praying yesterday about the Lord and my need. They're concerned, don't you think? He was concerned. I used to be a Methodist. And the Lord reached down and saved me. Amen. And the Catholic fellow, he didn't know what was going on. I went through the gospel with him. I said, I just explained it to you now. How do you get saved if you want to be saved? And they both told me. I said, well, then why don't you just bow your heads and get saved right now? They said, you have to repent. You have to trust Christ. You have to pray. Ask the Lord to save you. And they were so nervous and frustrated and everything. You know how the devil works. And the one fellow said, well, can't we all pray together? I said, that'd be all right. And so I just said, follow me in prayer. And we bowed our heads there right after we got out of the way of the traffic. And they both prayed. And only God Almighty knows if that Catholic boy and that Methodist boy didn't come into the light. Listen, only God can save a sinner. All they need to do is get in touch with the Christ of Calvary, and their sins will... I said, what's going to happen to your sins? I asked them this beforehand. I said, if you get saved right now, what's going to happen to your sins? And the one fellow said, they'll be gone. I said, yeah, you got it, buddy. Amen? I said, you'll have the Holy Spirit come and live in you. He'll show you how to do right and how to do wrong. Oh, I'll tell you what. All you got to do is just get this miracle word to those thirsting, hungry soldiers at Fort Hood who are going to war, and they are concerned, whether you think they are or not. They're trying to drink their worries away. And the sad thing is there's so many over there wanting them to get all this frivolous foolishness like those Wild West girls the other week. They don't need the Wild West girls. They need the God of glory is what they need. They need a holy reverence for the Bible and the God of the Bible. And when he comes in their life, they will think this word is just glorious. So just get the word to them. They'll listen to you. They acted like they were just out of boot camp. I'm serious. They listened to me like I was the general. When I told them to move, they moved. When I told them to bow their heads, they bowed their heads. Amen. Most of them, that's the way they do when they're just out of boot camp, because they've been trained to obey orders. So the fields are white over there. Let's go get them. Amen. And by the way, if some of our ladies don't know how to smile right at this time, you just be understanding with them. Amen. You smile for them. Amen. And pray for them. And don't feel like they're out of fellowship with God or anything like that. When half of you goes overseas, it's just normal for you to cry for a few days, don't you think? Yep. Hello. And so you just be there for them, be kind to them.